The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed in the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Welcome to our show. I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I invite you to join us and our inspirational guests as we discuss stories of loss, hope, and recovery. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation, whose mission it is to promote healing after loss, and by listeners like you. We also invite you to join our Open to Hope family by visiting our websites, blogs, and YouTube channel, where you'll find inspirational articles, poetry, and grieving tips to support you on your journey of hope, loss, and recovery. This show is pre-recorded, so you won't be able to call in. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. All shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and you can reach us through the Grief Blog, where you can send us questions or comments regarding this show and upcoming shows. Well, Heidi, good morning.
Good morning, Mom.
It's great to have you on. We're going to have a great show today. We've got some wonderful guests, and I love the topic. With Gloria Aronson's going to be our first guest, and we're going to talk about finding emotional freedom by living in the present. And it's going to be a wonderful show. And then Jack Kane will be joining us on the second half with Ann Bernberg, who is, I think, his wife now. I'm not sure. But
yeah, she's now his wife.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting show. Well, Heidi, before we get started on the show, I wanted to remind people that we would love to have them sign up for our newsletter, because then you can find out all about all the shows that are going on. And we want to remind you that we're on CBS now. Very excited about it. On Mondays at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, 11 o'clock California time, you can tune in to Chat About It. It's digital on the internet, and you can hear us live, and also our shows are archived on Chat About It. So we hope that you'll join us twice a week, once on Voice America and then on CBS.
And well, as my mom said, please go sign up for the newsletter. You can go to www.opentohope.com and click on the newsletter to sign up, and go to Facebook and sign up for Open to Hope Foundation, because I update that pretty regularly and will give you daily updates. I just updated, you know, every time there's a show, like today, I put on Listen Live Now with the e-card. So I'll keep you very updated on everything that we're doing and all of our news.
Yeah, and if you get our newsletter, it'll have all the shows in it. So we hope you'll do that. And we're putting things every week. We're putting a new YouTube spot on, and you can reach us through this.
And every time we finish a YouTube, I will put the link up on the Facebook page, so you'll be able to link right on it and see it right as it comes up.
And remember, these are 75 fabulous interviews we did for YouTube with experts in the field of grief and loss. Well, Heidi, would you want to do one of our emails this morning?
Sure. We had an email from Scott, and he was responding to an email from Mona, and Scott lost his son, and it was interesting what he said. He was talking about how he would never be the same again. His son fought a very difficult battle against leukemia for 26 months. And basically what Scott says is, I will never be the same again. I will live and love stronger. I will take all of the experiences I have had with my son Kyle over the past 22 years and use them to be a better person. I will help others to cope with their grief, as so many others, including Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi, have helped me.
That is so great, Scott. Thank you. Scott was the one who found us through Google, wasn't he, Heidi?
He was, and I just love his idea of kind of, okay, how will, this is a horrific experience, it's happened, now what am I going to do with this? And I love his ideas.
Absolutely, and we appreciate all your ideas that come in. We know they're so helpful for everybody, and keep the emails coming. We answer them all, and we put them on our site, and we know they're very healing for others. Well, Heidi, would you like to introduce our guest today?
Yes, and before I do, I just want to thank Scott for reaching out to help others. We
Absolutely.
Appreciate you.
Thank you, Scott.
Okay, our topic today is finding emotional freedom by living in the present, as my mom just said, and our first guest is Gloria Aronson. Gloria Aronson is a teacher and therapist in private practice. She has helped thousands of people to observe their behaviors without judgment and to discard those behaviors that no longer benefit them. She is the author of Emotional Freedom, Techniques for Procrastination. Welcome to the show, Gloria.
It's wonderful to be with you.
It's great having you on, and I love your name, Gloria.
I love your name, Gloria.
Heidi said when she came on, she had to say hello to the two Glorias.
Yes, I love saying hello, Gloria and Gloria.
Well, Gloria, you're in Santa Barbara, right?
Yes, I am.
And I'm in San Francisco, and Heidi's in Manhattan, so... And our engineers are in Arizona, so what can I say? It's a fabulous world.
True, true.
Well, Gloria, before you came on the show, I had asked you to be on the show because you've written this wonderful book on emotional freedom techniques for procrastination. It's really like a little gem. It's just
Thank
excellent.
You.
And when I was talking to you before we came on the show, you were saying that you had actually suffered a loss yourself. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes, yes. And this was many, many years ago before there were wonderful people like you. I was just graduated from college, got married, looking forward to happily ever after. And 5 months later, my husband, who is a very high-strung person, committed suicide.
Wow. And what was his name?
His name was Donald.
Donald. Wow.
It was an incredibly shocking experience. Certainly would not wish on anyone. At that time, there weren't grief counselors. And my whole family was shocked because things like that are, you don't see them coming. And I was completely at a loss. I was not a therapist at the time. I just didn't know what to do, and I shut down. My life, of course, I didn't know what to do with it. What do you do when you're 22 and you're a widow?
Mm-hmm, that's
you know,
amazing.
Speaking of, how do you change your life? I didn't know what to do with that label because I was only 22, you know. And I actually finally ran away from home. I lived in New York, and I landed up in Los Angeles. I had to make a new life,
mm-hmm.
except that I had no tools. And, of course, knowing now, so many years later, what I didn't know then, I can see how to do it. But I didn't know how to do it, and it took me 15 more years till I finally went into counseling and was able to get help.
Mm-hmm. And after that, did you become a therapist? And
I eventually did, yes.
So what would you suggest to the folks that are out there? I was saying to you that I thought, Heidi and I were saying that the procrastination that you know, your book is written to stop people, you know, from procrastinating about having the life that they could have. And you do get stuck when you have a loss, don't you?
Oh, yes. Yes, everything came to a halt. You know, all the beginnings ended.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do you suggest to somebody that they get started if they've had a loss, say, a month ago or 2 months ago or a year ago? Or, you know, people can be stuck for many years in this loss and refuse to move forward.
Right. Well, you know, that is why emotional freedom techniques are so helpful. Because I think certainly that grief is not an illness. Grief is a state that allows us to heal. And I would not want to push people out of grief, but I think the first step is to acknowledge how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And just acknowledging for some people keeps them crying for years. But with emotional freedom technique, it's basically an acupressure technique that anyone can learn because it's very gentle. There are no side effects, and it's basically touching or tapping on 8 acupressure points that are mostly on the face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what wow. this does and how it pertains to grief is that we do know there have been actual scientific studies that have shown when you stimulate a specific acupuncture point, where in the brain is affected. And we know that when we use this technique, it raises the serotonin in the brain. And serotonin is a brain chemical that soothes. And so what happens when people do this is 2 things. One, it actually relaxes them, which is very important. So if there's stress, if, let's say, you can't sleep, you can do it in the middle of the night. You can do it anywhere, anytime, because all you need are your fingertips.
Mm-hmm. And where are these points?
Let me just say the second thing
okay.
it does. So the first thing it does is it actually relaxes and de-stresses you, which is so important.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing it does is in doing that, it allows the thinking brain to consider or reconsider what you're telling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important because that's like a light shining along a dark pathway.
Mm-hmm.
So it helps you to get in touch with your own inner wisdom that's going to make suggestions or that's going to say, well, how about doing this? Or I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's one of the major pluses for knowing this technique. Now, the points, and let me say that people can find a diagram and instructions on my website.
Mm-hmm. And give us your website.
www.GloriaAronson, and that's ARENSON.com. And there's a page. They can just print it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The first...
You know, let's talk about the points when we come back to
sure.
break. But before, we're not going to go to break quite yet. Let's talk about, you know, I think one of the things that's come up for me, Gloria, when you've been talking about this, is the fact that don't you think people discount the physical experience of loss? You know, the actual brain chemistry and all that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they do. You know, there's so much, it's like we're in kind of a thinking world, you know, where everything has to be thought about. But I do yoga, and I think that there's a lot of changing in brain chemistry that goes on. Would you say that, Heidi?
Yes, and I'm really interested to hear about these points and how to do this because I love the idea of physically touching our face in different places and having our energy change.
Yeah, I think it's a great thought and idea, and we are going to talk about those points right now when we come back from break. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley, and we're talking to Gloria Aronson about finding emotional freedom by living in the present. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation. We want to remind you that all of these shows that we do are archived, and you can listen to them. You can tell your friends about them. They can listen to them. You can listen to them 24/7. Go on the Grief Blog. We have over 150 shows archived, and we'll be also archiving them on CBS. So please let everyone know about this. You know, this is our foundation. We do it out of love for all of you. And we hope that you'll spread the word to the world because we need you to be our ambassadors of goodwill and hope to those who are grieving out there. So please stay tuned for more.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, this is Dr. Heidi Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. Have you lost meaning and purpose in your life since your loved one died? Does each day feel like an effort? You do not have to go through this difficult time alone. As a bereaved sibling and licensed psychologist with over 15 years' experience, I will work with you in a collaborative, supportive way. If you live in the New York tri-state area, you can contact me at 917-338-6396 or email me at drheidihorsley@gmail.com. That's drheidihorsley@gmail.com. To learn more about my private practice, visit my website at www.drheidihorsley.com. Thank you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us today, I'm Dr. Heidi, and I'm here with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're talking with Gloria Aronson about finding emotional freedom by living in the present. Welcome back, Gloria and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Gloria Aronson, I want to make sure that people know about your book, because we are just hitting on a fraction of your wisdom right now. And so how do they get their book, Emotional Freedom, Techniques for Procrastination? How do folks get
Well, Barnes & Noble carries the book. I would assume some of the other large bookstores. You can also get it from my website. They can order directly from my website. And or order it through your local bookstore.
Great. Now, do you do workshops?
Yes.
And so people will find out about those on your website?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Great. Okay, because as I said, you there's just so much you've got. It's amazing. We'd have to do 10 shows with you at least to even scratch the surface. So let's talk now. We've told our audience that we're going to tell them about these, do you call them...
Acupressure points.
And we're going to talk about those and what they look like, where they are, and how you would do that.
Sure. Well, the first point is right on the edge of your hand, right under the little finger. So it's just tapping with your, say, three fingers of one hand against the edge, outer edge of the other hand. It could be either hand. It doesn't matter. And the next point is right on the hair of the eyebrow, right near the nose. And usually we put two fingers there because most of us are not licensed acupuncturists, and we're not sure where that point is exactly, so we use two fingers. The next point is right on the outside of the eye socket, right up against that bone. The next one is right underneath the lower lid of the eye. The next one is right under the nose. Then right under the lower lip, right in that indentation. Then if you put your fingers right on your one side of your collarbone and just let the fingers slide down under the bone, two fingers again. And the last point is if you put four fingers under your armpit where the hand ends, you just tap on the side of your body. So for a woman, it's just above the bra, and for a man, it's parallel to the nipple. And those are the points. So they're easy to get to. And, oh, again, we're very gentle. We don't want to, you know, it's not that the harder you tap, the better the outcome. You don't want to hurt yourself.
Right.
And what we do, and the difference between this acupressure technique and acupuncture is that you have to focus on what it is that you want to treat. So you can't just sit and tap. Nothing much is going to happen. But let's say that you're feeling very sad. So what you do is you tap the outside edge of your hand and you focus. You say, even though I'm feeling so sad today, I'm doing the best I can. Or I'm treating myself now. Or I'm a child of God. Something positive. And then as you tap, you just stay with the sadness, or you could just say the word sad. And you tap for about 3 seconds. That's all, five to seven taps, or you can actually just hold the point for 3 seconds and move on to the next and just continue focusing on so sad, I'm so sad. And you do that for a couple of rounds, stop, take a breath, and notice what happened. Now, usually the sadness will start. If we start, when I work with people who have a strong emotion, I'll ask them to rate it from 0 to 10. So if your sadness is at a 10, then after a couple of rounds, which only takes a minute, I would say, okay, how sad are you feeling now? And they might say, well, gee, now it's a 7. Mm-hmm. And what we want to do is bring that down to until it's 0 or 0 is neutral. 0 isn't happy, but 0 isn't, let's say, incapacitated by your grief.
Mm-hmm. And you don't think about an event or anything. You just think of these words like, I'm
well,
a child of God or I am.
No, well, I'm glad you asked that because in the break I was reminded of a woman who came to see me many years ago, and she was about 38. And she told me that her father died when she was 9, and she was crying as she told me that. So her grief was still very, very present in a way that was not helping her. And it's not that we don't want to remember those who have died and feel that sadness, but in an appropriate way. And she wasn't just, you know, a few tears. She was weeping. And the way that I worked with her was to ask her what she was thinking about. And she had some specific memories, some specific things that were still very, very intense. And so what we did is we took whatever that was about her father. You know, let me pretend now and say it could have been, he's the only one who loved me, and he's gone. Mm-hmm. And we would tap on, even though my dad was the only one who loved me and he left me, I'm healing that now.
Oh, I like that. And then that little tagline.
Yes.
I'm healing that now.
Yes, and you can make up an appropriate tagline that fits you. And then as we tapped, hopefully getting to a point where her brain started to understand what happened, and she would be able to say, he couldn't help it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to leave, or his spirit will always be with me. In other words, the end result is something that you believe and that is helpful for you.
Mm-hmm. And so you can kind of keep building that as you heal.
Yes.
You can change the tagline.
Absolutely. And so that helps you to be present, because if you're so much in the past that the past is keeping you from being healthy or in a good mental state, then the tapping, the EFT, is going to help you to move into that state at your own pace.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use
I love that. So she went from being totally overwhelmed and consumed with her grief to figuring out ways to incorporate him into her life in positive ways.
Yes. So that she could think of her father without crying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, can you use, I was just thinking that once it becomes a soothing thing to you, that if you were in a business meeting and you were starting to get overwhelmed with thoughts, you know, you were not concentrating,
mm-hmm.
could
mm-hmm.
you do a tapping somewhere on your...
Well, you know, if you are in a meeting, one of the things that you can do is there are two things. One is that without tapping, you could just say put your finger on your eyebrow as if you just, you know how sometimes people are tense and they rub their, their forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And just gently touch. Don't draw any attention to yourself.
Right.
Just gently move your fingers. The other thing that also works is to, and I do this in the dentist chair, is I imagine the tapping because I can't move my hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I just imagine my fingers tapping on my eyebrows, tap, 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 you know. Mm-hmm. And
you're in the dentist chair and that makes you calm, it sounds
yes.
like.
I mean, sometimes it's pretty stressful,
Right.
Dentist. And under the table, of course, you can tap the outside edge of your hand. But then if you're in with other people, you can just look as if you're listening, but imagine the tapping.
Mm-hmm.
And that does work. I just want to say I once had a client who was a quadriplegic, and it helped him because he could not move.
Hmm. And so he was able to imagine pressure points.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I love this pressure point idea, don't you, Heidi?
I absolutely do.
It's great. Do you see any difference between men and women as far as these techniques go?
No. We're all human.
Right. I like that. Well, I like this for men, too, though, because sometimes they don't want to, this could be something kind of quiet that they could do on their own that wouldn't, have to be out there.
Right. And most people do it when they're all alone so they can focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just plain talk also, therapy doesn't always work for people.
Well, let me just say, a great place to do it is when you're stopped for a red light. Because you're sitting in your car, and this is a wonderful opportunity to give yourself a little, take the edge off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if everybody did that, road rage would go way down.
Right.
Yeah.
So you don't have to tap every point all the time, right? It's not a routine of I've got to go through these.
Yes, you have to tap all of them. There are only 8 points.
Right. But, I mean, you could if you were, you want to tap them all, once a day or something, but you could just tap one.
No, I tell people to start off their day with what I call your daily workout. And basically what I start myself, I do it every morning, is I start by just asking myself if I feel stressed or worried or tired. And then I just do a few rounds of, even though I'm feeling stressed, I'm giving myself a little treatment, and I go around a couple of times and say, oh, that's better. And then I ask myself what's on my mind that's bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just tap whatever. And some mornings it's nothing, and some mornings it's 3 things. And I just deal with those.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a much better day.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Use this anytime you need it.
Now, what if I'm procrastinating about doing it? How do I get myself to do it?
Well, then you have to, after this program, you have to sit down and tap and say, even though there's something I really want to do and I'm not doing it and I'm really mad at myself, I'm exploring that now. Mm-hmm. Procrastination usually has to do with fear. And you have to ask yourself, what am I afraid will happen if I do that? And, of course, that's what my whole book is filled with, is examples of different types of fearful thoughts that people have.
So it's kind of interesting. It sounds really simple to us right now, to do this. But you don't be surprised out there if it's a little hard for you to do, to get yourself to do, because there might be some fear involved, right?
Yes.
And maybe you feel, what would a fear be? You're not ready to give up your loss or,
That could be a fear, yes. Or betray, the memory of the person.
Right, the whole idea that I might do this, yeah.
Yeah, and or just afraid of what life will be.
Mm-hmm. Or I won't be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, Aunt Gloria, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, you've just given some wonderful advice and technique, and I wondered if you had one last thing you wanted to say to those folks out there before we close this segment.
Well, my motto is, the unexamined life is not worth living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think examination needs to take place not just in good times but in challenging times, because if we can know ourselves, then we can heal ourselves.
Well, thank you. That's a wonderful comment to end on. And thank you so much for being on the show, Gloria.
It has been just a wonderful experience for me, Gloria.
Oh, thank you. Well, we hope that we'll have
Thanks,
more contact
Gloria.
With you, and maybe you'll consider writing for us for our foundation. We would love to have you do that.
Oh, I'd love that.
Good. We'll have Heidi get in touch with you then after the show.
Sure.
Thanks again for being on.
Bye.
Well, it's time for us to end this segment of Healing the Grieving Heart. We want to thank our guest, Gloria Aronson, for being on the show. We're going to continue to talk about emotional freedom and techniques for overcoming loss and grief. And our next segment, we're going to have on Jack Kane and Anne Barenberg. And they will be talking to us again about living in the present. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. You can reach us through the blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation. We want you to remember that we're here for you. We want you to join our newsletter and join our Open to Hope family. And please spread the word about our foundation and what we're doing, because we're here to help you all with your grief, loss, hope, and healing. Please stay tuned for more.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, I'm Eric Kipple, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions and outreach coordinator of the University of Michigan Depression Center. It gives me great pleasure to announce the publication of my autobiography, Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss, written with Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley and published by Quality of Life. Real Men Do Cry takes you on my journey of fame and fortune to unbearable pain and depression following the death of my 15-year-old son, Jeff, and gives practical information on the warning signs and risks of depression. My story ends with an uplifting message of hope and recovery. I have faith that if I have made it, you can too. You can visit my website to learn more about my book at erichipple.com and more about depression on depressioncenter.org. Thank you.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi, and I'm here with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we're talking today about finding emotional freedom by living in the present. And our next guests are Jack Kane and Dr. Anne Barenberg. Jack Kane lost his wife, son, and daughter all within a 20-month period. He is a writer, trained chef, and photographer. His latest book is Overcoming Crushing Grief by Living in the Present, co-authored with Dr. Anne Barenberg, clinical psychologist who is a widow and has personal as well as professional experience. Welcome to the show, Jack and Anne.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Jack and Anne. It's great to have you on the show today. And I love your book, Now, Overcoming Crushing Grief by Living in the Present. It's an amazing book. Quite a journey, Jack, you have taken. And, of course, Anne, too, with the death of her husband. But can you talk a little bit about your loss, Jack?
Yes. My wife, son and daughter, as you mentioned, died within a 20-month period. First, my son died. Adam, 27 years old, he committed suicide. And then the next year...
And you had quite a journey with him before he did that. He had terrific drug problems and all sorts of problems that you guys have been working with, right?
Yeah, he was very much a troubled person.
Yeah, and what was his name?
Adam.
Adam, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then the next year, my wife, Lenore, died of ovarian cancer. And less than 3 months after... I'm sorry... Less than 3 months after that, my daughter, Stephanie, died of congestive heart failure.
Wow, incredible. And Stephanie had Down syndrome?
Yes, she did.
Right, and she'd had a heart problem for years. So you guys had really, without you, she probably wouldn't have lived so long. As I was looking at the book, I'm a nurse, and reading about, you know, how what great care she had and, you know, what a great relationship your whole family had. But Adam, what a challenge, boy.
I mean, to lose, to lose three family members within a 20-month period, Jack, I can't even imagine.
No, when I hear stories like that myself, I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was interested in reading the book where it says that the three types of loss are different because, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, how does grief come like that? I mean, how do you grieve that?
Well, you just you have to address them one at a time and look at them as different things. You can't just say, well, grief is grief. Because, for instance, my son died quite suddenly. My wife died over a long period of time. And then Stephanie died suddenly, but it was much different from Adam because suicide is much different than sudden death. Mm-hmm. Anne's husband died of a heart attack, and that was sudden and unannounced and unanticipated.
Now, how old were you when your husband died, Anne?
I was 37, and he was 38, and our children were 4 and 9.
Yeah,
he was 38 and he died of a heart attack.
He died of
that's
a heart
unbelievable.
Attack. He put the children to bed, and the next morning he was dead.
Incredible.
So that was a very, very sudden death. And, you know, I think some of the difference is that, you know, with the sudden death, you're dealing with the shock and your world suddenly shattering. With the more chronic illness that Jack experienced with his wife, there's an opportunity, and the pain, of course, of anticipatory grief and pre-grieving and working through some of the grief and the feelings, you know, as you're going along. With suicide, you have the added dimension of the, you know, first the kind of anger at either the person, yourself, or the world, at the guilt and the kind of overlays that come there because it's not a death that can be taken in stride in any kind of way.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Jack. Do you think that any of them were any easier, is the word?
Or harder?
No. The one that hit me the hardest was Stephanie because she was born with a very bad heart, and we were told she wouldn't live to be a year old. And then when she died, she was 34. Mm-hmm. So I would say that there was no such thing as one easier than another. But that being said, Stephanie was harder.
That's interesting because she was the last.
Yes. And
also because you knew that she wasn't expected to live as long as she did. And I think this just reconfirms the fact that we never know which losses are going to be the most difficult for people. I guess there would be an assumption there that the sudden death would have been more difficult, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, it's the fact that she had dodged the bullet so many times, I think, unrealistically, I began to believe that she would live forever. But it was quite a shock.
Well, you talk in the book about the fact that you felt like you could take care of everybody, and that's part of what you had to give up, wasn't it?
Yes, I did. One needs to get rid of that idea of taking care of the rest of the world. And you know, our book is not so much about these terrible things that happen.
Mm-hmm.
The book is basically living in the present and getting rid of the fearful past and the fearful future and taking care of what's going on right now, right in this 5 minutes of your life.
And that's what my mom and I absolutely love about yours and Anne's book. So I know my mom's thinking this, too. How do we get to that point? How do our listeners get to that point?
That's a really good question because, essentially, that's what the book is about. It's looking at it backwards. The goal is to live in the present and to stop living in past grief and everything else. And the idea is to overcome this grief, not just to live with it. You want to overcome it and try to come back into the land of the living as much as you can.
You know what, and I think, and you'll identify this as a psychologist also, you know, Eckhart Tolle has written The Power of Now, and people are taking their existential journeys and studying about it and reading about it. But what struck me, frankly, about the book, Jack, was that you had to do The Power of Now, because if you weren't in now, you couldn't have lived.
That's correct. This isn't existential. This is real.
And I think that's important because, you know, this isn't just a thinky, interesting, funky kind of thing, an extracurricular activity or whatever. This is the real thing.
I remember at one point, Jack, in your book, you decide, there's a decisive moment, isn't there, where you're like, okay, I've got to decide, am I going to live, you know, in a positive way? Wasn't there some point?
Yes. In the book it says, because of my jangled mind, it took me some time to realize what I had really done to survive. It was no accident. I had a plan born, I suppose, of desperation. The thing is, I didn't realize I had a plan until I was in the midst of using it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, Anne, did the same thing happen to you with the loss of your husband? Did you have to make a decision to give it up?
Yeah.
And move on to care
for the
kids?
For me, say my you know, life was just sort of suddenly shattered, and I just felt like I couldn't cope. And but I realized that I had to. And I think it was in some ways made easier for me because I had these two little children, and I simply had to cope for them. And so that you make the conscious decision that you're not going to succumb to despair. Even though you kind of feel like it sometimes. And one of the things, you know, that the book tries to do, I think does, is give you kind of a roadmap for how to pull yourself out of that sense of I'm overwhelmed, I can't go any further, I'm stuck, there's nothing I can do. And it gives one sort of step by step how you can pull yourself out of that stuck place and move into the present. And
now you have a number of steps. Let's see, how many of them are there? I was just looking at this. Oh, 10, right?
Yeah.
Let's start with the first one, Jack. What about the first step? Let grief happen.
Well, the first one is that grief is going to happen and take over your life no matter what you do. And therefore, the idea is to let it happen, since you have no choice. And instead of trying to get away from this grief, try to
ride the wave.
Ride the wave.
Okay, that's a good point for us to take a break on. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley, and we're talking with Anne Barenburg and Jack Kane about their book, Now, Overcoming the Crushing Grief by Living in the Present. And we're talking about the power of now with them. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation websites. We hope that you will sign up for our newsletter. We hope you'll look at our YouTube sites, and you can email us through the Grief Blog. Please stay tuned for our next segment and also to hear about next week's guest.
Hello, my name is Naomi Edelson. Has someone close to you died? If so, I invite you to participate in an important new research study. I am a doctoral student at the Wright Institute conducting research on social relationships and how they might have affected your feelings about the loss. Participants who fill out the confidential 15-minute survey online will be entered into a raffle to win a $100 gift certificate to Amazon.com. If you are over 18 and want to participate, please go to www.opentohope.com and click on Foundation News. There on the research site, you will find the URL for my study. You can also contact me by phone at 415-290-0164 or by email at lossresearch@gmail.com to have questionnaires sent to you. Thank you so much for your time and consideration.
Hello, my name is Neil Chethick. I'm the executive editor for the Open to Hope Foundation and author of the book Father Lost, How Sons Deal with the Death of Their Dad. As editor of the foundation, it's my job to find writers for our website, writers who would like to contribute their articles, poetry, and personal stories about grief, loss, hope, and recovery. If you'd like to write for our website, please contact me. You can do that by visiting opentohope.com and click on the category Write for Us. Then you can start bringing your words, your stories, to our fast-growing audience around the world.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi, and I'm here today with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and we are talking about finding emotional freedom by living in the present with our guests, Jack Kane and Dr. Ann Barenberg. Welcome back to the show, Jack, Ann, and Gloria.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. It's great to be back on the show. Well, if you missed the first segment of our show, you're going to want to go back and listen to it. I mean, Jack and Ann have had some terrific losses in their life, family members, spouses, and you found
children.
Each other, right?
I'm sorry?
You found each other.
Yes, we did.
And how did you go about finding each other?
Well, 2 years ago in 2007, March, I had open heart surgery.
Wow.
And a week after I got out of the hospital, I wanted to go back to church and see people. And so I tried to find someone on what's called listserv. And on the listserv, only one person answered, and it was Ann. And interestingly enough, she's not even a subscriber to listserv. She just happened to look.
Wow.
So she gave me a ride home, and we took it from there.
That's amazing. What a story. And the Internet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's an incredible
thing. The combination of Internet and very person-to-person of being together in church, which we never sat together before.
Right.
So you need both.
Yeah, and Jack came with an open heart, right, Jack, after open heart surgery.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell people how to get in touch with you. I know you guys give talks on your books
and Jack, and they're writers for the Open to Hope Foundation.
And they write for the Open to Hope Foundation, so they've got a profile page. So you can find them. So tell us how they'd find you on your website.
Well, the address on the website is www.livinginthepresent.com.
No, now living.
Okay, and I want to talk a little bit more about some of your steps. Get their book because it's got 10 wonderful steps on what you need to do to get into the now. And I hope that you will get this book. And I wanted to ask you, we don't have time to go through all 10 steps. So the first step, Jack, you talked about before break, is there another step that for early grief that you think is particularly important?
If you don't mind me going back just a hair on the website, I think I made a mistake. I think it's nowlivinginthepresent.com.
Okay.
Nowlivinginthepresent.com, and if you didn't get that, please visit Open to Hope and Jack's profile page because we've done a link to his website.
Perfect. Going back, you want to know what step would be...
one of the things that I've got here, because we have some emails. In fact, I just got an email that came in about a woman whose husband is not dead, actually, but he's had a stroke where he does not recognize anybody and he'll never leave the hospital. And one of the steps you've got is 3, start to cope with being alone now, because that's what she said. One of the things she's having trouble with is he's not there at home with her.
Mm-hmm. She's got anticipatory grief going on at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And so how does she learn to live alone? And do you want to address that?
Yeah, because that's certainly something I needed to do. And I think the first thing is to realize that the world changes for you. It's a big adjustment, whether you lose somebody because they're not available because of a stroke or because of death. And one of the issues is you have to learn to be proactive. And you can't wait for others to come to you because they may be uncomfortable, they don't know what to say, they don't know what to do. So you have to, on the one hand, work on living in the now, which I hope I've talk about, but the other one is to reach out to others and make that effort to reach out. And you can reach out to them and sort of know what you need, and it sometimes it takes some experimentation. But one, reaching out to others, is to let others comfort you, and even if they're a little clutched about it. And the other is to reach out to others and think about what interests you may share in common with them and suggest that you do it and feel okay about asking from others, because others will be happy to give to you if they know what to do.
I love that idea, and we talk about it on the show about sometimes have to teach people how to grieve. I like the fact that you said klutzy, because not everybody's going to be good at helping you, and you will lose some friends, and you'll make some new friends, and you'll find your way with this experience. But I think for somebody who's lost a spouse, it can be a lonely world, can't it?
It can, but you know, I always ended up being very much supported by friends, but and part of it was because I reached out to them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about you, Jack, as a guy? Because there are a lot more women around that go for coffee and that kind of thing, right?
That's right.
So what about the guys?
Well, what guys have to do is emulate women. They need to reach out. They need to reach out to their friends, and they need to stop thinking that they're macho.
I like that.
A piece of dealing with loneliness, though, and this kind of moves us way up to step six, which is examine the present, is to, it's part of the vision for other people, but part of it is to try to be in the present, to note the little things that are give you pleasure or joy, whether it's just looking through the window and seeing the light filter through, and savor that. Look for the things that you can savor.
You know, we talk about gratitude.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Gratitude.
You know, that there is a light.
And that there is a life, that there is awareness, that there is joy in it, that it's okay to appreciate that. It's okay not to be able to hang on to it, too. But and then another thing is to notice how resilient you are, and that to notice that the times when you're bouncing back and you're not coming to just being a victim, but you're somebody who is coping. And
you know, that's one thing I like about groups and about the radio show and stuff is when people listen to it. When I go to, I lead a Compassionate Friends group, and when I go, I hear people talk, and I think, wow, I've really come quite a ways. Or maybe, wow, you know, I need, you know, it can be for hope or, you know, just saying, finding out where you are in the now, right?
Yes, yes. And then the other thing is that this is, you know, it is a time to rediscover yourself and to kind of look at yourself and say, what are my, you know, my talents and interests and how, and that doesn't, rediscovering yourself doesn't mean forgetting about or forgoing your link to your loved one, but they can be an inspiration to you if you so choose, you know, to go on and explore new things or do things that will help further their memory.
Right, and it reminds me of our email at the beginning, Anne, from Scott, who said, I will embrace life fully, even more now, in tribute to my son, basically.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Setting that intention. Well, one of your steps, this is so full, you've got to get it, because the 10 steps aren't just a quick thing. It's really a thoughtful thing about helping you get into the present. And I love where you say you have it underlined, and I'm not sure exactly what step it is. Let's see, step 8, it says, expect the best and get it.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love
expect
that.
The best. Because you are the best, right, Jack? Mm-hmm.
I think so. I think that quote came from Norman Vincent Peale.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, he is the best.
And we are the best. You know, we are us. We're the best Jack. We're the best Ann. We're the best Heidi. We're the best Gloria we can be.
That's
yes.
Right. Yes.
Well, and I remember reading, I don't remember how I found out about Jack, but I remember reading about all the adversity in his life and then the loss, and yet looking at him and going, this guy is so positive. It's amazing. I've got to hook up with this person. We have to have mom because such a positive way, you know, just seeing your photo, Jack, you're a positive person. Embracing life, you're not only surviving, you're thriving.
Yes. At the end of our talks, when we give them, what I say is you'll find, as I have, that I am unbelievably happy and lucky. I've got Nicole, my daughter, her two children, Jamie and Natalie. I have Anne. We reinvented our lives and everyone else can too.
What a wonderful thought. How about you, Anne? Do you have any parting shots you want to give our folks?
My parting shot, excuse me, would be that you have more inside of you than you think you do, that you are a resilient person who can go on, who can treasure the memory of your lost one without that becoming the dominant theme in your life. Mm-hmm. It can be one thread in the tapestry of your life, you know, that pain and that, but and also the love, and it can enrich the life that you have to go on to live.
Great. Well, thank you both for being on the show. You're an inspiration, and people can get your book now, Overcoming Crushing Grief by Living in the Present, by going to your website, which is, do you want to give that again?
Yes, it's now, livinginthepresent.com.
You can get that through going to their website, and I'm sure you can get it in Barnes & Noble, and you can ask your local bookstore if they'll get it for you. Well thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah. Thanks, Jack and Ann. I love your message, and I love the fact that you two found each other and wrote this book and married. And
so are we.
It's wonderful.
Thank you, Gloria and Heidi.
Absolutely. Well, it's time to close our show now, and I want to thank our guests. Please stay tuned again next week when we will be on with Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. We hope that you'll visit us through the Grief Blog and through the Open to Hope Foundation. We have over 200 writers writing for us, people like Jack and Ann. And it's just a wonderful thing, and we have, you can go to our YouTube spot. We're bringing 75 YouTubes online with experts in the field of grief and loss. We hope that you'll spread the word about the Open to Hope Foundation, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week and also tune in to CBS on Monday on Chat About It, Monday at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, when we're going to have Eric Hipple on, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley, and we want to tell you others have been there before you and made it. You can, too. So this is Dr. Gloria Horsley with Dr. Heidi.
Okay.
I keep not having you in. Go ahead.
Dr. Heidi Horsley, Gloria, Jack, and Ann, thank you for helping people find emotional freedom by living in the present.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the compassionatefriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.